When you're not following God's word, your life is no good. It's in shambles. No matter how good things are, these people, they get everything. They're still messed up. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And so they were distressed. They were messed up spiritually. So God is going to restore them. He's going to build them up. And some of us need to be restored. Maybe we've let sin get in.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and we have a note from Paul from Wisconsin. He wrote, "Thank you for all you do!" Exclamation point. Praying for your team, Paul. Well, Paul, you are so welcome, and thank you so much for your prayers. It is so important that our listeners pray for this ministry, and it is such an encouragement to us to hear that you are. So we praise the Lord for you.
And Greg, today we resume our study of Nehemiah chapter 8.
Yes, we will, Dave. So let's get right to our passage. Turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 8. And after some review, we're going to be looking at verses 17 through 12.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Well, if you were to walk into a different set of churches today, you might find a whole bunch of different things going on. There's a lot of different things going on in a lot of different churches. You might come into some churches and there's a rock band playing and, you know, and there's a little sermonette or whatever it might be. You might come in and there's a very structured service with bells and whatever it might be, callings and things, you know. But how is it that we're to meet? How is it that we are to be built up in Christ? You see, God actually likens his children to a building. A building being built up. A building being, just as we see, we're working on our building project out there. And we're getting ready for the grading and then the foundation and then the building. And with that in mind, God takes us and he builds us up. But first of all, he lays the foundation. That foundation is found in the truth concerning Jesus Christ. The reality that we are all sinners and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And God has this good news out to everyone. The good news is that although he is just and right and holy and must bring wrath for sin, that he sent his own son in our place. God took on human flesh, Jesus Christ, and he lived the perfect life. He went to the cross and died for our sins. He bore our sins in his body on the cross, and he died and rose from the dead. And when we place our faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, we receive his righteousness and the forgiveness of sins, and God begins that building project. Before, we were separated from God. We were without hope and without God in the world, living the consequences of our own sinfulness. Sometimes it works out well, sometimes it doesn't work out well, but ultimately it's not good because there's a judgment for sin. But God intervenes with the truth of his son Jesus, and he saves us. And once we're saved, that foundation is laid, and then he builds upon that to start changing us, to make us more like his son Jesus, to change us, to weed sin out of our lives, and to make us more like his son. And ultimately we will, like we sang in that song, "Sweet By and By," we will be in his presence with no more sin. You see, not only with salvation comes a new inner man as being born again, but ultimately we will be glorified. These bodies that are wearing out and dying and getting sick and all that will be raised because of Jesus Christ. And so he begins that building project. Now, we've been studying the book of Nehemiah. We've been going through it, and we've come to chapter 8. And the first 7 chapters were basically about the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem and the gates. Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the Persian Empire, Artaxerxes. This is back in 444 BC. And he was the cupbearer, very high position. They're the world empire. They're in control of everything. They are sovereign over the Jews that had been taken away to Babylon. Now they were in Persia. But God, through his grace, allowed some through Cyrus before and then through Artaxerxes to go back to the land to rebuild the temple. And they did. But yet the people weren't rebuilt. Nehemiah gets the word that the walls of the city and the gates are broken down, and he's distressed over it. The people are distressed. And so he goes to Jerusalem, and through his godly leadership in the midst of great difficulty and opposition, they rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. And that's what the first part of Nehemiah is about, the rebuilding of the walls and the gates. But the second part of Nehemiah, which we've come to, is about God's rebuilding of the people. You see, God is not concerned per se about gates and walls, certainly for his name's sake, but he is concerned about people. He's concerned about where we are in reference to him. And so the Jews had not been in very good shape, and they had been, for lack of a better word, sinning. We all know about that. Everyone know about sin. I know about sin. That's the way I lived my life before I came to Christ, and I'm still tempted to sin. And these Jews are believers, and they were not fully following the Lord. And so God needed to not only rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, but he needed to rebuild them. And those first illustrations of those opposition to the rebuilding of the walls really apply to us too, because we have an enemy, Satan. He doesn't want you to be built up. He doesn't want you to be walking right with the Lord. He doesn't want you to have joy and happiness, right? And so there's opposition there. But here, as we're going to see in our passage, there is a way in which God builds up his people. And we're going to see that that way is through the word being brought forth to his people when they are receptive, when they are willing to hear, when they are attentive, when they want to know what God says from, not what a preacher says, but what God says from his word. So would you turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8, and I'll be reading the scriptures too, so if you want to pay attention and just listen or turn about, whatever is convenient for you, I'll be reading it also. But as I mentioned, we are now in the context of the spiritual rebuilding of these Jews, okay? Now, I'm going to go back and read back the first six verses in Nehemiah 8. We went through those last few times, and we're going to go from 7 and on. But I'm going to read back. This is Nehemiah 8:1. And the people gathered as one man in the square, which is in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, all who could listen with understanding, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it before the square, which was in the front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him, and I'm going to shred these names up, but let's try it, stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, and his right hand, and Pedadiah, Mishael, Machaah, Hashbam, Hashabadah, Dadanah. If you've got a kid, you're going to name. There you go. There's some new names for you. Zechariah and Meshulam on his left. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed down low and worshiped the Lord with their faces towards the ground. That's what we've seen so far, but now let's continue and look at what we'll see today. And here we go. Now we got a bunch of names again. Also, Yeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Yamin, Akbub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Josabad, Ahanan, Palaliah, and the Levites explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. And they read from the book of the law, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. Then Nehemiah, who was governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went away to eat, to drink, and to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them. This is a great passage, and the reason why it's so great is because it helps us gain insight into how God's teachers are to teach God's people so that God's people would understand. It's a great passage. You know, when I went to seminary, you know, they had all these different shticks and ways to try to trick people into understanding God's word, to do a song and a dance and all this to peddle, for lack of a better word, to peddle the word of God so that people might understand and come back and fill the churches up. Well, the reality is, the Apostle Paul shared in 1 Corinthians 2 that he didn't come with superiority speech or wisdom, but he proclaimed God's wisdom, and he proclaimed it God's way. And that's what we want to do. We want to learn how to teach the Word of God, certainly rightly as teachers, but we all are to be taught also. What kind of teachers are we listening to? We need to examine God's Word to make sure they line up with God's Word. And God's Word is the standard, not what someone says or does. It's what God's Word says that is the standard. So here, remember, we're talking about the spiritual rebuilding of God's people. Israel was in a sad situation here. They had this group of people who they had left comfortable lives in Persia, and King Cyrus initially had let them go to rebuild the temple, and it was kind of difficult. You can look at that in Haggai and other places. And then time went by, and they didn't really get things done, and they needed to check their priorities. Things were messed up. Then they started marrying foreign women and all sorts of stuff, and all kinds of sin was getting back in. Remember, Israel was very idolatrous up to the point from when they entered the land in Joshua up to the point where they were expelled. And they were listening to false prophets. They were listening to those giving them, "Hey, you're good," when things aren't good. So they're not in good shape. And this group came out to follow the Lord. They wanted to rebuild the temple. And then another group came out with Ezra to bring the utensils to the temple and the things that were needed, that he would establish Jerusalem by the law of God. And Artaxerxes let him do that 14 years earlier. Then Nehemiah came, as we see in 444. But the people were not doing well. They were not doing well. They were not following the Lord. They were not following his word. And they were distressed. Believe me, when you're not following God's word, your life is no good. It's in shambles. No matter how good things are, these people, they get everything. They're still messed up, right? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And so they were distressed. They were messed up spiritually. And so God is going to restore them. He's going to build them up. And some of us need to be restored. Maybe we've let sin get in the back door. Maybe we've allowed certain things to go in our lives that are not right. And God's a good God. He spanks us, right? That we would share in his holiness. So here, we've seen already in the book of Ezra, and I read it, the first portion on how we are to be restored. First of all, as we saw last time, we need to start with a desire to hear what God has to say. Not what man has to say, but what God has to say from his word. We need to start with that desire. And you'll remember in verse 1 of chapter 8, all the people gathered as one man in the square, which was in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which was given to Israel. They're calling Ezra. Ezra, bring the word of God. You know, this is unique for them. This is unique. They're calling upon Ezra. We know from the book of Ezra, which comes behind here, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, that Ezra was a scribe and a priest. And he was one who came to Israel because God's good hand was upon him. We see that in the book of Ezra, chapter 7. And God's good hand was upon him. And it says, for Ezra had set his mind, Ezra 7:10, to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach it to Israel. Ezra had set his mind to do what God had called him to do. But first of all, you got to obey the word yourself. You know, what a hypocrite, someone who teaches you the word and doesn't obey it himself. You know, you need to obey the word yourself. Timothy was told to look to himself and then, obviously, to the people. So Ezra is one. And so they call Ezra. It's been 14 years. They want to hear the word of God. This is amazing. And so Ezra brought the word of God. So we need to have a desire. We know from 1 Peter chapter 2 that when you come into a relationship with Jesus, he gives you desires you didn't have before. He gives you a desire to hear his word. before you didn't. You didn't care about it. Well, when he's drawing you unto himself, you start to go, wow, I'm starting to be interested in this. But before, we just cared about our own lives. But once we come to Christ, have our sins forgiven, he changes our hearts, and we want to hear it. But it's when sin gets in the way, we get dulled. It's like that one pastor said, you know, sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin. God's word helps us to turn to him so that we wouldn't sin. And so Ezra is called to read this. Ezra's a good guy. He's a priest and he is a scribe. A scribe is simply one at that time who was learned in the word of God. And then notice verse 2, then Ezra, and this is reviewing. These are all tied together, or otherwise we would have had a two-hour sermon last time, so we got to review this. But then Ezra the priest brought, verse 2, the law before the assembly of men and women, all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Now, the timing is going to be important when we get later on in the chapter, because later on we're going to see this is the timing when they should be having their feast, which they have forgotten about for year after year after year. They haven't obeyed God's word. Later on, we're going to see they get convicted like, whoa, we should be celebrating this feast right now, being obedient to the Lord, you know, but they're not there yet. But Nehemiah is laying the groundwork to know what timing's going on, because they're going to get convicted. They're going to get convicted. They should be obeying. And so he said, all who could listen with understanding. This word is really important. It's all throughout our passage. It's bin in Hebrew, B-I-N, you could say. It means to discern or to understand. And so he's saying, everyone who had the ability to understand what God intends from his word were there. That means there weren't the small little ones. Now, we're a small church, but we used to have children's church, our largest. It's a church plant. You know, eventually, as the Lord grows us, we'll have children's church for those who can't understand what I'm saying. They're too young for that, right? You know, but then for those who can listen with understanding, need to listen. What's the main point? What I've already talked about. I've talked about faith in Jesus Christ. Talked about forgiveness of sins, being rebuilt when we're sinning, right? You can understand those things, right? Listen with understanding. And so all the men, women who could listen with understanding, the word also means to discern, to get it. You know, if someone says to you, do you understand? You go, if you do, you go, yeah, I get it, right? It's to understand what God intended. And so then we see how God restores us spiritually. First of all, you need to have a desire to hear God's word. You need to have a desire. I want to hear what he has to say. I want to hear what he has to say about my life. I want to hear what he has to say about my actions. I want to hear how I'm supposed to be walking. I want to hear about him. I want to hear about Jesus. And so that's the first thing. And then notice after verses 1 and 2, we have verse 3, which is a summary. It's a summary of what we're going to see and saw last week in 4 through 6. I'm kind of rushing along here, but verse 3, and he read from it, that's the word of the law, that's the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And he read from the square, which is in front of the water gate, that's one of the gates around the city of Jerusalem that they rebuilt, okay, from early morning until midday. This wasn't especially long service, right? He read for a while, but they were attentive. In the presence, verse 3, of men, women who could understand. Doesn't mean they're going to get it, but they are capable of understanding. And all the people, notice this, were attentive to the book of the law. You know, we have an attention problem, right? We want things now. You know, we want our Big Mac now. You know, we want everything. We got the drive-thru. We got everything to get it fast. We got our microwaves. We don't have long attention spans, right? But sometimes we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention, especially to God's word. It's very important. And they were paying attention because they recognized and had a yearning to hear it. When you really want to hear it, when you know you need it, you're going to pay attention. When you know your life depends on it. When I went skydiving, they gave us instructions. And I paid great attention because I didn't want to die. I knew I needed to follow the instructions. I knew it was important. And so when you recognize that God's word is spiritually important, you pay attention. They were all paying attention. So the first step in being rebuilt by God is yearning for God's word, but then listening attentively, listening to hear what God has to say. And so then, the ears of the people, you could literally translate it here in Hebrew, the ears of all the people unto the book of the law. They're like this. They're listening. And they were listening with intent, attentively. That's why we need to fight the distractions. You go, oh, he's got a big piece of yarn on his sleeve, or his hair's out this way, or there's a noise, someone's tapping their foot, there's a pen going on. You know, there's all kinds of distractions. I guarantee as a believer, when you come to church, everything in the world's going to distract you from listening attentively to the Word of God. And we have to turn our attention to do it. And then notice verse 4 through 6 is an explanation, because they were all listening. Now it's going to say, here's how they did it. And Ezra the scribe stood at the wooden podium. And that's why we have pulpits. We kind of model that, some wooden podium to speak from. And he was up elevated so people could see him. So at the wooden pulpit, which they made for the purpose, and that word podium means tower. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, the people stood up. And feel free to just to listen too. I mean, you don't need to follow along. It's okay. Feel free to just listen. And so he opened the book and all the people stood up. And so we have here this attentiveness. Ezra comes, they ask him, Ezra, read the word. Now they're explaining. He takes the scripture, he opens it up, and everybody stands up in attentiveness. There was a reverence for God's word. You see, when we see it as God's word, we're going to revere it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the Thessalonians, they were pagans. And yet when Paul brought the gospel to them, they realized it was the word of God. And they understood it was not the word of man, but the word of God, which performs its work in you who believe. And so maybe one of the problems that you might have, or I might have at times, is we come to church and we don't have an expectation to hear God's word. It's very important. And so we need to listen attentively. The psalmist prays in Psalm 119:38, establish thy word to thy servant as that which produces reverence. And I'm going through a lot of verses. Feel free afterwards to get the recording and just go through and check to make sure what I'm saying is so. But he doesn't stop here. Notice what happens here. The people stood up. Then verse 6, then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. That means he spoke well of God, and it's in the context of prayer. He spoke well of God. We have a great and awesome God. He spoke well about it. He blessed the Lord, the great God. We need to have that viewpoint when we come together. We need to change our understanding. Again, you know, we dress different ways at times based on, I'm not telling you to go out and get dressed to be legalistic, but I'm saying based on certain events and the importance to us, we might dress really nice for a certain thing. If you're going to go see, you know, a high official in the government, whatever, you're not going to go in your shorts and thongs, right? There's a sense in which you have a reverence for them, humanly speaking. Well, for God, we need to have a reverence for him from the heart. And he blessed the great God. And then notice, they didn't stay standing when the word was read the whole time. Then they bowed down low and worshiped the Lord, their faces to the ground. These are believers. They've come to faith. They bow down and worship the Lord. This is the preparation. This is why when we come to church, we sing songs and we pray. We want to focus on the Lord. We want to bow down and worship him as we sing. And then we hear we're ready for the word of God to work in our hearts. And so then, the people showed reverence for the Lord. They listened attentively. So how does God restore those who are spiritually broken down? First of all, you need to come to faith in Jesus. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in our review, we saw the people had the right focus and they were all attentive to the word.
Yes, they were, Dave. And indeed, we saw that the Lord was working on these people as they had a desire to be taught the Word of God, and they gathered together to listen to be taught from the Lord's teachers. And then their hearts were prepared, and they were attentive to the Word of God. And that's where we need to be when we come to the Word of God. We need to come ready to listen with reverence for God and His Word, expecting Him to use it in our lives and change us and make us more like Jesus Christ. Well, where are you? What's your attitude towards God's Word? When you come to the Word of God, is your heart ready and prepared to receive it? Are you desiring to be changed by the Lord through His Word? Well, that's our desire here at Equipping the Saints, that the Lord would use His Word to change you and make you more like Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.